Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayin. We are holding on daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. We are at Vizarak V'Amar Rabba, rather Zarak Li Meirosh Hagag, about 10 lines from the end of the page, second word online, V'Amar Rabba. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Lina Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all come home safely, and also by Yankee Shifman for Rafu Shalema to Yaakov Yisrael Ben Sivyo, who's undergoing a back procedure early this morning. Shtav Rafu Shalema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. And also as a Zuchus for Yaakov Kapel Bas Malka Makla, who is also undergoing surgery today. Rafu Shalema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is finish up as Shem Perek Ketzad HaRegel. And we're going to do that by discussing five different statements that Rabba has. The first several of them are about throwing things off a roof and what the level of chiyuv is if someone's on the bottom to break the thing that would have broken anyway, or to kill the thing that would have died anyway. So the Gemara is going to talk about five different statements of Rabba. The Gemara is one of the statements of Rabba is going to relate to a person who puts a coal on somebody else and either kills that somebody else with the coal slowly burning through his chest, or damages his clothing with the coal slowly burning up his clothing. To what extent do we say that it's on the nizik to remove a coal when someone puts it on your body? And what if that nizik is an eved? What if that nizik is a behema? So where do we put the blame, and where do we put the chiyuv? And that will bring us to the end of Parakeitz and Aregel. Then we will begin Parak HaManiach, where the first Mishnah is going to talk about if a person leaves a kli in a Rishus HaRabim, so is someone who walks by and damages that kli chayev for damaging it? What about someone who gets damaged from that kli? Is the person who left it there going to be chayev for leaving it there if it damages somebody else? Then the Gemara is going to talk about why it seems that in this Mishnah, as well as several other Mishnayos, the Mishnayos interchangeably use the term kad and chavis, and is there any halacha that we could derive from the interchangeability of those terms? Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that one is putter if he breaks a kli that was left out in Rosh HaSarabim. Shouldn't we say a person has to watch where he's going? So the Gemara is going to have three explanations of why, even though normally a person has to watch where he's going, that in the case in our Mishnah, he doesn't have to. And then the Gemara is going to have a fourth explanation which suggests that nobody ever has to watch where they're going. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the last sugya of the daf, is going to begin the sugya of Avid Inish Dina L'Nafshei or La Avid Inish Dina L'Nafshei. Is a person allowed to take the law into his own hands? You see somebody taking something that belongs to you, are you allowed to go and just grab it back? Are you allowed to go punch him in the face and grab it back? Are you allowed? To what extent is a person allowed to take the law into his own hands? You just have to let it happen and say, well, that's what Beis Din is for, so I guess I'll take him to Beis Din later on. So let's begin about 10 lines from the end of the page. V'amar Rabba. So says Gemara, V'amar Rabba. Zara kli mirosh hagag. If a person throws a kli off of a rooftop, and therefore the kli is going to break as soon as it hits the ground, but uba acharu shavaru b'makal. Someone else comes and takes a baseball bat and swings it at the kli before the kli hits the ground, and he smashes it. So Potter, the guy who broke it, who actually broke it, is Potter. My time up, mana tvira tavar. The reason he's Potter is by the time he broke it, it was already destined to be broken. So it's as if he broke an already broken kli. You're not going to be chayiv for breaking an already broken kli. Second statement of Rabba, V'yama Rabba, Zara kli mirosh hagag v'yitachtov kar muksasos. A person throws a kli off of a rooftop, and it's not destined to break because it's going to land, it's going to have a soft landing on nice cushions. But a ba'ach or v'silka, and someone else came and removed those cushions, so now it's going to break. Okada v'silka, or maybe even the guy who threw the kli themselves somehow managed to beat the kalim down to the bottom, and he removed the cushions. Potter, the guy who throws it is Potter. My timer, why is he Potter? After all, it's only because he threw the kli off of the roof that the kalim ultimately broke, and another mamazik is chayiv. Bein b'meizid, bein b'shov, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. So be'idna d'shadi p'suke mafsegire, because at the time that he threw the kli, his arrows were no longer going to damage damaged. The kelim were not destined to be broken. And it's as if you shot an arrow in a way that there was something blocking the arrow from going anywhere. And then the nezek only happened because that which was blocking was removed. That's considered to be, the way Rashi learns it, that's considered to be only a grama. And therefore, even if the Zorik himself removes the karma ksasos, he's potter because it's a grama benezikin. The Rashba explains that whenever you don't do a maisa on the object itself that gets damaged, it's not considered garmi, it's only considered grama. So it's the most indirect form of damaging, and grama benezikin is potter. Tosos quotes in the name of the Rif that this is not a case of grama, this is garmi. Garmi is a machlokas, whether you're chayiv for garmi or not. It's somewhat indirect, but also somewhat direct. It's not at all clear. Rishonim have major debates about how do we classify something as grama, where everyone agrees that you're potter, and how do we classify something as garmi, where it's a machlokas. So Tosos quotes from the Rif that this is garmi, but this is rabba l'shita so, because rabba on tzadi ches amir aleph holds that for garmi, you're also potter. So rabba holds that you're potter in this case. Third statement of rabba, v'yama rabba, zarak tinok mirosh agag, a person, Rachman Slan, throws a baby off of a rooftop. Uba'achar v'kibla, the baby's going to die when it lands, but someone else, uba'achar v'kibla b'sayif, someone else catches the baby with a sword. So it's the sword that ultimately kills the baby, but the baby would have died anyway. So b'plukta Rabbi Yemeseir v'rabbanan, as far as who is chayiv, is tali in the machlokas Rabbi Yemeseir and the rabbanan. Titanya, because we have a brisa as follows. Hiku asara b'nei adam, abasara makalos. If 10 people strike a single victim with 10 whippings or with 10 strikes, bein bebasa, with 10 sticks, bein bebasachas, whether they all hit him at the same time, bein bezeachaza, or whether the mob takes turns striking this person, kulan peturin, they're all going to be potter, because the pasuk says when it comes to a rotzeach, v'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam, most you must. So we darshan that only if it's kol nefesh adam, that you yourself, that the murderer himself killed the entire person, is going to be chayiv. But when many people ganged up together to kill the person, no one could be said to have killed kol nefesh, and therefore they're all going to be potter. That's how Rashi learns in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches. However, Rashi back on Daf Yoreh Beis explained that they're potter because we don't know mi mehem harago, who among them is the one that really killed him. But there is one that actually struck the death blow, we just don't know who that one was. So two different ways to learn it. So either that we know that nobody was the singular killer because they all contributed to the killing, or no, somebody gave that death blow, we just don't know who that person was, so they're all potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the chiyuv is not only on kol nefesh, but adraba, we learn from the phrase kol nefesh, that even if you only take away some of a person's nefesh, you're going to be chayiv, and therefore bazeh achar zeh, if they took turns hitting the guy, ha'achron chayiv, the last guy is going to be chayiv, mipnei shekiriv misaso, because he's the one that brought him to death. But if 10 people hit him at one time, they're all going to be potter, even though they each took away miktsas nefesh, because we darsh in the words v'ish ki yake, that only one person could be chayiv for the murder of a single individual. You can't have multiple people that murdered a single individual. That's what we darshan from the pasuk. So too, when someone throws a tinok mirosh hagag and someone else catches him with a sword and therefore is the one that actually killed him, so according to the Rabbanan, they're both potter because neither of them was makeh kol nefesh, and according to Rabbi Ben Beseira, the second guy is going to be chayiv, since Lamaisa, he's the one that actually killed the tinok, and a rotzeach is chayiv, even on miktsas nefesh, even when it's not kol nefesh. Tosos points out that this issue, this case of Zorik es ha-tinok and someone else catching the baby with the sword is not at all similar to someone who's horig es ha-trefa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you kill a person who's already anyway a trefa, you're potter, because you're gavra ketil katal. You're killing a dead man. Well, why is that any different than the case of the baby? Someone threw the baby off the roof. The baby, l'chora, is a gavra ketila. So shouldn't we say automatically the guy that catches him with the sword is potter? How come in our Gemara we're saying that it's a possibility the guy that catches him with the sword is going to be chayiv? And when it comes to killing a trefa, everyone says you're potter. So the Tosafot says, nah, it's not the same. The Rimi Gash explains, why is it not the same? Because a trefa, a person who is actually a trefa, has a physical condition in his body, that his body is a dead man's body because of something that has some condition that he has that will kill him, even though right now he may be dancing and chasen, he may be walking and talking and everything else, but we know he's destined to die. But when 10 people strike a person, there was no physical thing that makes him into a trefa, and he's considered a healthy person. It's just that he's been weakened by the strikes that he's received. So since all of his evarim are intact and there's no reason that he's going to die, he's considered alive until he dies, until that last strike that actually kills him. So that's how the Rimigash explains the chilek. So now the Gemara brings another case of two people that kill a tinok, where it's tali and a machlokas tanaim. What if someone throws the tinok off of the Rosh Hagag, but instead of another guy coming and catching him with a sword, bashor v'kiblo bekarnov, an ox comes and catches the baby with his horns. So the question is the balashor going to be chayiv kofar or not? So this whole shaila, the Shidim Gretzis points out in the name of the Rash, is only within the sheet of Rabbi Yudah Beseir. According to the Rabbanan, there's no chayiv because two people killed him, and a shor is only... And Ashar is not going to get skila because kamisa sabayim kach misa sashar, and if there's no skila, maybe there's no kofar. So the whole shayla is only within Rabbi Yudah ben Beseiru, who says that if you catch the guy with the sword, if you catch the baby with the sword, you're going to be chayiv. So now we want to know if Ashar catches with his horns, is that shar going to be chayiv kofar? So the owner of that shar is going to be chayiv kofar. So beplukta the Rabbi Shol Menoshal Rabbi Yochum and Baroka v'Rabbanan. It's a machlokas. Rabbi Shol Menoshal Rabbi Yochum and Baroka and the Rabbanan. Titanya, because we have a brisa that tells us as follows. The Torah talks about the chayiv kofar of a shor mua that kills a person, and it says v'nasan pidyon nafsho. So there's machlokas tanaim. How do we assess the kofar? The chum hold that demay nizik, that you pay the value of the nizik, and that way the mazik gets his kapara by paying the value of the nizik. But Rav Shom Roshel Rochem and Broka Omer, demay mazik, that in order for the mazik to get his kapara, he has to pay his own value. So when the tinok was thrown, Merosh Agag, what was the value of the tinok? Meaning, if you're going to assess by demay nizik, the value of the tinok, by the time the shar caught the tinok with its horns, the value of the tinok was zero, because the tinok was about to die. Whereas, if you assume that you paid demay mazik, so then there is something to pay, then there is a kofar that should get paid. So that's why it's subject to that machlokas tanaim. Now, once we're mentioning these other dinim of Rabbah about things falling from Rosh Hagag, the Gemara brings other issues of Rabbah relating to Rosh Hagag. V'amar Rabbah, meaning having nothing to do with Nezikin necessarily. Nafal me Rosh Hagag v'nitka b'isha, a highly unimaginable case. A guy falls from Rosh Hagag, he lands on a woman, and he's boel the woman, totally by accident, just by falling off of the roof and landing on her. So chayiv bar b'dvarim, he's chayiv in and if she is his Yavama, he happened to have been so lucky that the woman he landed on was his deceased brother's wife, who requires Yibum anyway, so he is not koneh, is not a valid Yibum, even though normally Yavama's Niknas Babia, even Bishogeg, this is less than a Shogeg. So the Gemara explains, what are the four Chiyuvim that he pays? The Chayiv Arba Dvarim, I misidentified them before. Chayiv Benezek Bitzar Buripoy Besheves. He's chayiv in Nezek Tzar Ripoy and Sheves. Which one is missing from the list? Aval Boshes Lo. He does not pay Boshes. Titnan Enu Chayiv Al Boshes Hashem Skavin. That the halacha by Boshes is that you're only going to be chayiv in Boshes if you have kavana to embarrass the other person. If there's no kavana levayish, like this guy, he fell off the roof and he just landed that way, so he had no kavana levayish, therefore he's going to be potter. V'yamar Rabba, a final, or not, a penultimate statement of Rabba. If a person fell off of a roof with a ruach sheinu metzuya, a huge wind came and he didn't have the koach to withstand it and it blew him off of the roof. And then on his way down, he damaged someone and embarrassed someone. Chayiv al nezek, he has to pay for the nezek because not the mamazik is chayiv even ba'ones. We learned yesterday there's Yerushalmi that all the Rishonim quote that say an ones gamur you're going to be potter from. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says this is not an ones gamur. Why not? Because what are you doing on a roof? Meaning things happen when you're on a roof, or things might happen when you're on a roof. So since you didn't have to be there in the first place, it's a regular ones. It's not an ones gamur. Upater ba'arba dvarim. So even though he's going to be chayiv on the nezek, he's pater on the tzari poshaves and boshes. Beruach metzuyav is it could be yesh, but if it was a normal wind that could be expected to come on a rooftop and it blew him off the roof and he damaged and he embarrassed someone, chayiv ba'arba dvarim. He's chayiv in nezek tzari poshaves and sheves, but upater al boshes. He's potter for the boshes. Vim nishapich. But if he adjusted his body mid air to break his fall in some way, then chayiv af al boshes. Then he's chayiv even on the boshes, even though he wasn't trying to embarrass the other person, but he knew that by adjusting in this way, it will cause boshes, but it will just protect himself a little bit more. That's kavana levayish. Did Tanya, because we have a brisa that says about the chi of boshes, you know, the psukim in the Torah about the chi of boshes are in Dvarim Chafei. It says, ki yinotzu anashim yachtav ish viachiv, that people are fighting, v'karve ishas ha'echad lahatzil es isha, and one of the wives comes to save her husband, miyad makeu, from the man who is assaulting her husband, v'sholcha yada v'echzika b'mavushav v'katzos es kapa. So she goes and grabs him in a very embarrassing way, so the halacha, the pasuk says, v'katzos es kapa, that we cut her hand off, which doesn't mean that. So mash v'shamar v'sholcha yada, from the fact that it says v'sholcha yada, eni yodeh, obviously it means that she grabs him. So matam lomer vechzika, why does it have to say vechzika? Lomer l'chakim sheniskavin lahazik af lishon niskavin levayish, that you pay boshes even if your intention was to damage without having an intention to be mevayish. You're only going to be put from boshes when you didn't even have intention to do damage. But if a person adjusts his body in midair, he doesn't know that he's going to embarrass the other person, but he knows that that's going to cause damage by trying to land on the other person to break his fall. So he knows it's going to damage the other person, so therefore he's going to have to pay for boshes when there's intention to damage. V'yama Rabba. And finally Rabba says, hiniach lo gecheles alibo. If a person places a coal on someone else's heart, umes, and the person dies, Potter, the guy who placed the coal there is going to be Potter, because the Nerag, the victim, could have just removed it from his heart and not gotten killed. Al bigdo v'nisraf chayiv. But if you put it on someone else's beged and it burns his beged slowly, and the guy didn't do anything to prevent it from burning his beged, you're still going to be chayiv. We do not assume that it's considered a mechila by the fact that he did not remove the gacheles from the beged, because it's not a mechila. He was just planning on taking you to Beis Din later on. Amar Rava, Travayu Tanini, both of those dinim, both about putting the kol on the person that kills him, as well as putting the kol on the person's clothing, we have Mishnayos that back both of these halachos up. Alibo, the Tana and the halacha about putting it on his heart that ultimately kills him. We learned in the Mishnah Masech Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav that says Kava Shalav L'Tocha Ur O L'Tocha Mayim. If a person forces his friend into a fire or into the water, Vein Yochel Lalos Misham Umeis, and the person, the victim, is not able to escape the fire or the water, and he dies. He gets burned to death or he drowns. Chayiv, the person is a rotzeach, so of course he's going to be chayiv. However, what if the Chava L'Tocha Ur L'Tocha Mayim V'Yochel Lalos Misham Umeis Potter? What if the guy throws his friend into the water, and the friend knows how to swim, but he just says, you know what, once I'm here anyway, might as well to end it right now, and he just allows himself to sink to the bottom and doesn't leave the water, and he dies. So then the guy who shoved him in the water is going to be Potter. So that's the case of where the Mishnah says clearly that if the person can avoid his own death, and he chose not to avoid his own death, so the victim is bears the responsibility. But big though, and what's the Mishnah where we learn about putting a coal on someone's beged where you're going to be chayiv even if he let it happen? Tanan, because we have a Mishnah later in this Masech and Daf Tzadi Beis. Karas ksusi, shvaras kadi. If I tell you, tear my clothing, break my vessel, chayiv. So then you're going to be chayiv, even though I told you to do it, because I never told you I'm mochel you. I just told you that you could do whatever you want, just you're going to have to pay for it later. But if I say al menas liftar, that it's al menas, you're going to be pater from tashlumim, then pater. Then the mazik is going to be pater, because the bailim is mochel on that. And that's why you broke it in the first place, because he told you he's mochel. So too, when you put a gacheles on someone else's beged, the bala beged didn't remove it because he figures he'll just be tovea you later on. He'll just make a claim against you in court later on. Why is it that you could say al menas liftar? Isn't isn't that a violation of Masal Mashkas Betorah called Masal Mashkas Betorah to know Batal? I mean, the halacha is that when an Adam Mamazik, he's got to pay for damages. So when I tell you that you're allowed to damage me without paying, aren't I telling you you don't have to observe the halacha? Aren't I making a Tanai against the Torah? So Tosus and Ksubas Daf Nun Vav says, no, you're not saying Almanas that there is no din of Nezikin. You're saying Almanas that I will be Mochel. And when it comes to din of Mamanis, you're certainly allowed to be Mochel. So I'm not denying that there is a din that you're obligated to pay. I'm just guaranteeing you that I will be mochel, that the money that you owe me as a result of that din. So, by Rabbi, hiniach gachelus alev avdo. What if you put a gachelus on someone else's Eved Kanani, and the Eved Kanani is not tied down? He has the ability to remove the gachelus. That's the way Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel understand. Over here, Tosus in Dibra Maschel Hiniach explains that we are talking about an Eved that's tied down, but the master standing right there. And Rabbi is not sure, is there a svara that the Adon is not choshesh for the nezik of the Eved, because the mazik will just pay him, just like we say by a beged, because in the end of the day, the Eved is his mammon. So do we say that we treat that like mammon, like the mammon of the master, or do we say, no, this is a physical life, and therefore we treat it like a libo? So anyway, mahu, kigufo dami or kamono dami? Do we treat it like the guf, or do we treat it like his mammon? We look at the Eved like the mammon of the Adon, and just like if you'd be sorry if his beged, you're going to have to pay, even though the Eved could have removed the gacheles, the Adon doesn't lose out because of that, and the guy who puts it there is going to be chayiv. The Nachlas Moshe just adds a little bit of biur over here to the suffix. He says, the reason that maniach gacheles alev Adam is pater is because the maniach, meaning what is the reason that maniach gacheles alev Adam is pater? Is it because the maniach can say, the guy who put the gacheles there could say, I really did not expect that to happen. Meaning, I assumed, as soon as I put the gacheles there, he would say, ah, and he would throw it off. I didn't think he would say, all right, let it just burn through my chest and kill me. So I did not expect that to happen. Is that the svara? And if that's the case, when you do it on Eved, you could be putter as well, because you could say that I had no expectation that that the Eved would just let it kill him. Or do you say that the reason he's... Pater is because the nizik was posheya biatzmo. It's the nizik's fault. It's not about what I expected. The nizik was posheya by not removing it. Well, who's the nizik over here? When you kill the Eved, that's costing the master money. So it's a question of the dinim mamnis toward the master. The master wasn't posheya. It wasn't his responsibility to remove the gachelas from the Eved. It was the Eved's responsibility to do so. And therefore, maybe we should say that you're going to be chayiv. So imtim slomer kagufo dami. If you're going to say putting on an Eved is like putting on a physical human body. So Sharomahu, where if you put the gachelus on a shar? So is the maniach going to be chayiv in that case or not? So Hadar Pashta Avdo Kigufo Sharo Kimamono. In the end of the day, we paskin that an Eved is like a regular, putting it on a regular person's body, and putting it on a shar is like putting it on the clothing where it's purely mamono, because the shar doesn't have das to be misalek to the gachelus to remove it from his body. Okay, Adron Lach Ketzal Regal. Now, but shall we begin Perak HaManiach? So says the Mishnah, if a person places his jug, his barrel in a Rishus Rabim, someone trips on it and breaks it. So Pater, the guy who broke it does not have to pay for the barrel. Vim Huzakba, if the guy that tripped on it got damaged from tripping on it, the guy who owns the barrel has to pay for the damage caused to the guy who tripped on it, because it's like a barber Rishus Rabim where you chayiv for any damages that your bar does. The Meiri says, wait a second, didn't we learn that you're not chayiv on Niskei Adam in a bar? And the Cham Darshan from the Pasuk V'nafal Shama Shor O Chamar, Shor V'lo Adam, Chamar V'lo Kalim. So aren't you Pater on Adam in a bar? So says Miri, yeah, that's if a person dies from falling into a bar. But in a case where a person is harmed or damaged by falling into a bar but does not die, then the guy who digs the bar is in fact chayiv to pay for Niskei bar. That's what happened over here. The guy simply got damaged. So now says Gemara, wait a second. Pasach Pekad, Nisiyim Bechavis. We started the Mishnah by saying, Haminiach es Hakad. And then we said at the end, Balachavis is Chayiv Benisko. Who put a chavis? I thought we were talking about a kad. Aren't those two different things? And utna nami, and we also have a Mishnah later on. Zeba b'chaviso v'zeba b'koraso, where it sets up a case. Two guys are walking on the road. One of them is carrying his chavis, and the other one is carrying a beam. And they bump into each other. Nishpura kadu shalzeh b'koraso shalzeh. And the beam breaks, the other guy's kad. potter. So he's going to be potter from paying for the zikin. Wait, because he had a right to walk with his korah in the Rosh Hasharabim. Well, pasach b'chavis yim b'kad. We started over there saying that he was walking with his chavis, and then somehow his kad broke. Who brought a kad to the party? It was only a chavis. Utranami, and there's a third mishnah that we're going to have on kuftas vavam ralef. Zeba b'chavisu shal yayin, zeba b'kadu shal dvash. One guy comes with his barrel of wine, and the other one comes with his jug of honey, and nistiga chavish shal dvash, the barrel of dvash, the chavish shal dvash, which didn't exist, it was a kad of dvash, but the chavish shal dvash gets cracked and honey starts spilling all over the place, and honey is very expensive. V'shafach zeh yeinu v'hitzelas hadvash l'tocho. So the guy who had wine which is cheaper than dvash poured out his wine in order to use his barrel to catch the other guy's honey. So ein lo el scharo, the balayayin is not able to be toveya the full value of the wine. He could only take schar as a poel who worked to catch the guy's honey. So, but again, we're not interested in the details right now. It's just pasach pekad v'siyim b'chavis. The point is that it started by talking about a kad and then it switched to a chavis. So three mishnayos where we use kad and chavis interchangeably. What is going on? So Rav Papa, hainu kad, hainu chavis. That there's no difference in the Lashon HaTanayim. They are totally interchangeable. They mean the same thing. Sometimes we call a small jug a chavis, and sometimes we'll call a large barrel a kad. They're totally interchangeable. L'may nafkamina, l'mekach memkar. Why is that important to know that they're interchangeable? When it comes to mekach memkar, a guy says, oh, I'm charging $10 and I will deliver a kad, right? Or I'll deliver a chavis. Like when people say, you may get something, you thought you were ordering a kad, that you're ordering something tiny, and you get this giant barrel delivered to your house, or vice versa, you have no taina, because the term kad and chavis is like when you order things from China, right? You know, you order this big thing, and it comes, and it's totally the wrong size, right? So over here, it's not the wrong size, it's just that that's the terminology that we use. Well, hey chidami, what exactly is the circumstance? If you're in a place where no one calls a kad a chavis and no one calls a chavis a kad, hello karula, no one calls it that. So if you get a kad when you ordered a chavis and no one calls it the wrong thing, so of course you have a taina. So it says more lo tzricha deruba karula l'kad kad l'chavis chavisa. Most people call a small jug a jug, and most people call a large barrel a barrel. V'ikanami dekar l'chavis kad l'kad l'chavisa. But a minority of people, sometimes on occasion, you'll find that a small jug is referred to as a chavis and a large barrel is referred to as a kad. So ma'adatem is l'b'saruba. I might think that we should just follow the rove. And if I ordered a kad and I was delivered a giant barrel or vice versa, I should have a taina, because al pi rov, that's not what I meant. So kamash mlan dein holchen mamnach harov. That's what we're told. When it comes to dina mamnis, we don't follow a rov in dina mamnis. So the mocher kataina, that I'm among the miut of people that referred to a tiny jug as a chavis and referred to a giant barrel as a kad. So that's all I intended to sell you. Tosfos raises the question, why don't we follow rov when it comes to dina mamnis? After all, when it comes to dina nefashos, we follow rov hadayanim. Even by dina nefashos, we follow rov. If you have a Sanhedrin that votes on something and it's a 15-8 vote, we follow the 15. So kal v'chomer le dina mamnis, which is more kal than dina nefashos. Just like we follow rov dayanim, we should follow rov in dina mamnis. So Tosfos says, no, you can't compare following rov Dayanim to other cases of rov. Following the Dayanim is considered, the Miut is considered Kamisha Eino. So you can't, so it's not Shaykh to say that we'll keep the Mammon al Cheskaso, because the Bezdin is Motzi the Mammon Me Cheskaso, and as a Bezdin they are a single unit. Meaning, there is a difference between Holchim Achar Harov and Bittel Barov. By Dayanim, it's not just Holchim Achar Harov, but the Dayanim who vote in the other direction become Batel to the Dayanim who are voting who are the majority. Meaning, we don't say when you have, let's say, a basin of three and two vote chayiv and one votes pater that you're chayiv because of two. No, we say a Beis Din of Gimel found you to be Chayiv, and the entire Beis Din finds you to be Chayiv. That's the Pashas what Tosos means over here. Okay, so says the Gemara now, we said in the Mishnah, Ubach Rav Nitzkal Shvar Pater. So again, the first discussion about the Mishnah is now over, right? The first discussion was about when do we use the term Kad, when do we use the term Chavis? Well, Mishnayos use them interchangeably, and if you live in a society where even they're sometimes used interchangeably, you have no Taina and Dina Mamnas. Next conversation, Ubach Rav Nitzkal shvara pater. If someone comes and trips on the kad and breaks the kad, he's pater for breaking the kad. He broke your item by tripping on it, but he does not have to pay. So, shouldn't people watch where they're going? Why should he be pater if he breaks the kad? Don't we normally work with the assumption that adam will the olam ben b'mezim ben shogim onus ben barat? So, of course, he should be chayiv. So, it says Gemara three reasons why, even though normally one is chayiv for breaking things ba'ones, when he breaks the kad, he's going to be pater. So, amri de rav mishmei de rav. Rav's answer is b'mali rishu sram kula chavios, that the guy filled the entire path of the rishu sram with chavios, so there was no way to get by without breaking. So you're right. Normally, if I break a kad in rishu sram, I'm going to be chayiv because I should have watched where I was going. But there was nowhere to go in this case, and therefore I'm going to be pater. Second answer, Shmuel amar ba'afel shanu. We're talking about where it's very dark. Most rishonim seem to understand that it means not just nighttime. That nighttime you still have to watch where you're going, but there's an unusual darkness. Other rishonim seem to assume the pilpulcha rift on the bottom of the rush says that the rush seems to assume afela is just another way of saying laila. That as long as it's dark outside, you can't tell me I should have watched where I was going. There was no way to watch where I was going. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bikaren Zavis, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Baal Chavis puts his barrel in a corner, on a street corner, in such a way the guy who's turning from one street to the other has no warning that it's going to be there. As soon as he turns the corner, it's right there, so there was no avoiding it. So even though it's true, normally a person should watch where he's going, but in this case it was impossible for him to watch where he was going. So Amar Papa, Lo daika masnisin ella ok Shmuel ok Rabbi Yochanan. That the Mishnah doesn't seem to fit Rav's explanation. Again, we have three explanations. Rav was the first one who said b'mal rosh hashem kula chavios. The Mishnah does not seem to be talking about that case. The ika Rav ma'iri nitkal afilu shavanami. Because if we're talking about the guy filled the entire pathway of rosh hashem with chavios, then it doesn't have to be that the person who damaged the chavios tripped on them, even if he broke them purposely. Kavana, you should be pater, because you have no right to block off the entire Rosh Hashanah, making some sort of protest by blocking off the Rosh Hashanah. I could take my bulldozer and go right through the. You're not allowed to block off a public thoroughfare. So I'm allowed. So I'd be pater in that case as well. And the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah said nitkal am pater. Sounds like if I be kavana was shover, I'd be chayiv. So it doesn't seem to fit Rav perfectly well. Amar Rav Zimri Shmei de Rava, who had din dafilu shavar. No, maybe in a chinami. Even if I broke it, I'm going to be pater. Nitkal. Why does the Mishnah give a case of nitkal? I did. By the Mr. Seifa, im huzak ba bal chavis chayv. Since the Seifa wants to say that if the nitkal is harmed by it, the bal chavis is going to be chayv benisko for the damage done to the guy who tripped. To dafka nitkal. That's only in a case of nitkal. I will shover low. But if I go and I see your barrel and I kick it or I smash it and I break my leg by kicking your barrel, you don't have to pay me for that. My time, who does ganavshe? Because I'm the one that damaged myself. So that's why katani resha nitkal. That's why the Mishnah chose the case of nitkal, even though in the case of the resha, if he filled up the whole Rosh Hashanah with barrels, even if I break it by kavana, I'm going to be pater. But it chose the case of nitkal to introduce me to the second case, so that it could parallel in the second halacha, that if I get damaged by kicking it, that by tripping on it, that I'm going to be, that you're going to be chayiv to pay me for the damages that I incur. So now, Amrle Rabbi Abba Ravashi, Hachi Amri b'ma'arava, Mishmei Rabbi Ula. They said in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Ula, Lefi she'in darkon shel b'nei adam, l'sponu b'drachim, an entirely different approach. Meaning, we ask, why is it that when someone trips on the barrel and breaks it, why is it that he doesn't have to pay for it? After all, shouldn't he watch where he's going? So the first three answers basically said, Ein hachinami. He does need to watch where he's going. And these are unique circumstances. He filled the whole Rosh Hashanah. It was dark. It was Karen Zavis. But really, Ein hachinami. You do need to watch where you're going. Now we're suggesting, Rabbi Abba says, Ravashi, no, you don't need to watch where you're going. It's Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to make any assumptions that anything's going to be out in the Rosh Hashanah. It's simply not your responsibility to watch where you're going. There's a tshuva In the Tshuvas Knei Bosem, in Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuflin Dalet, where he discusses, a person asks someone to wake him up in the morning. He said, "Can you come to my room, wake me up for the early minyan." And the guy who was sleeping had taken off his glasses the night before, and he put him down next to his bed, on the floor next to his bed. So the guy walks in to wake him up, and he steps on his glasses, and he damages his glasses. So he wants to know whether he's chayiv to pay for the glasses. So the Knei Bosem says, "Well, Miniach Sakad Barshus Rabin Ba'achar V'Nitzkel Ba." You put something in Rosh Hashanah, someone else comes and breaks it, he's Patra. And the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Abba B'Shem Rabbi Ula, because Ein Darkum Shal B'nei Adam L'Sponin B'drachin. So in the case of the glasses as well, it's Ein Darkum Shal Adam L'Sponin. So the guy who stepped on the Mishkafayim, the guy who stepped on the glasses, is totally Patra. It's an Ones Gamur. So Rav Bloy in Piskei Choshen says, not so Pashut, because a person has Rishus to put down his glasses in his own room next to his own bed. So in such a case, we don't say, and furthermore, it's dafka bedrachim. We say it's ein darkum lesbonin, but in a dark room where you're walking into and you don't know the, you know, the lay of the land as well, you know, it is the derech lesbonin not to trip and not to. So it's hard to apply that to that case. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Have uvda ben Arda. There was a maisa that happened in Arda. V'chiyev Shmuel, meaning a person tripped and he damaged as he the thing that he tripped on. Shmuel was mechayev him to pay. V'pumadisa v'chiyev Rava. And it happened in Pumadisa, and Rava was Mechayiv, the guy to pay. So Bishlam Shmuel Kishmaitai. I understand why Shmuel is Mechayiv, because Shmuel said that the Mishnah was talking when the Mishnah said that your potter, it was talking about where it was dark in the room. But if you're going, or it was dark on the road, but if you're going in broad daylight, then in a chinami, Shmuel's going to say you're chayiv. El Rava, lemak Shmuel svirilei. But why would Rava assume like Shmuel? So Rav Papa, karna da atrahavi. So he says, no, you cannot prove that Rava holds like Shmuel. The maisa where Rava was mechayiv was where a person put his Kalim in a corner of the street that was right near an olive press. And apparently it was very common for people to leave their Kalim near the olive press. And therefore we have Rishus to do that. That generally speaking, a person is not expected to watch, to look where he's going maybe. But when there's a particular location where people always leave things out and they have a right to leave things out because of the nature of the way that location is used, then you do have an obligation to look where you're going. And that's why Rava was Mechayiv, the Nitkal, in that case. Now we move on to the last sugya of today's daf, and this sugya is going to take us into tomorrow's daf. Shalchei Rav Chisa Rav Nachman. Harei Amru L'Ruchuva Shalosh. A person, the Chazal tell us that a person who knees somebody and damages him in that way pays three slotim for the boshes. That's how much boshes you get for hitting someone with the knee. Ulubi'ita Chamesh. If you just directly kick the person, so then you're chayiv five slotim for the boshes. Go keres shalosh esrei, and if you hit him with the donkey saddle, then you pay 13 slime for the boshes. Lepanda demara ulukofina demara mai. But what if you hit the person with the handle of a shovel or the blade of a shovel? So what's the halacha then? How much do you pay for the boshes? So shalach le Rav Nachman sent back to Rav Chista. Knasa kamavikas bavel. What are you asking about? You live in Bavel. We're not dam dine knasas in Bavel. Or boshes is a knas anyway. But emily kuvatov de. But anyway, well, tell me the story and then we'll see if there's anything that we could do about it. What do you mean? There's nothing you could do about it. It's a knas. What did he think he'd be able to do about it? So the Rashi writes, yeah, even though ain't done dina knas is bavel, but if the toveya is toface, ain't motzin miyado. So he said, tell me what happened over here, because maybe there is something that that it's important to know what the proper payment would have been had we been done dina knasos. So shalom chay, Rav Chisa said, Rav Nachman, okay, here's the story. Daugar gusa de betray. There was a bar of mayim that belonged to two people. And they would take turns each day. A different guy got to draw the water from the bar. That's how they split it. One of them came and started drawing water on a day that was not his turn. So Amalei, the guy said to the other fellow, said to him, Yom Didihu, it's my day today. You know, the even days are mine, the odd days are yours. It's my day. Lo Ashkachbe, the guy who was drawing the water didn't pay any attention. He kept on drawing the water. So Shakal Panda Demar Mache. So the other one took the handle of a shovel and he whacked attacked him with it, meaning to stop him from drawing the water that was his. So therefore, I want to be mevarer. How much does he have to pay for the Dmei Boshes for hitting him with the handle of a shovel? So Amalev Nachman says Rav Chista, Mea Pandi Pepandel Mechiye. He could hit him 100 times with the handle of a shovel, and it's not a problem because the guy's stealing his water. So you could do whatever you need to do to stop him. And even if you hold that a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands, and you just have to take him to Beis Din, but Makom Seidavin is Din Nafshei. As the loss is happening in front of you, you're allowed to stop it, right, by being Avid Din Nafshei. Lovin is Din Nafshei means that once it's already done, you're not allowed to just go and steal it back or beat the guy up to take it back. Then you take him to a Beis Din. But as the loss is happening to prevent further loss, then you're allowed to be Avid Din Nafshei to Inmar. Rav Yehuda Amar, Lovin is Din Nafshei. Rav Nachman Amar, Avid Din Nafshei. That's the Machlokas Amaraim. But hey, Chadika Pseida, when there's a loss, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dovin in everyone else, you can take the law into your own hands to prevent further loss. Keep ligiecha de lekup seita. The whole machlokas is only if there's no loss that's going on right now. Rav Yehuda Amar law of in the nafshei. Rav Yehuda says you cannot take the law into your own hands. The kima de lekup seita lezel kamei dayana, because if there's no ongoing loss, just go to a Beis Din. And Rav Nachman Amar avin in the nafshei. The kima de bedin avin lo tarach. Why should I have to be tarach from a Beis Din if I have the ability to just take care of it right here and right now? So therefore, I'm allowed to take care of it right here and right now. I don't need to go to a Beis Din. So that's the machlokes of avin in the nafshei. But from tomorrow, we'll get into kashas and rayas as to how we paskin on that sugya. Everyone have a wonderful day.